Well, our next story, we're going to turn to situation in South Africa. And of course, the anti-apartheid leader Nelson Mandela has been laid to rest in his ancestral home in Eastern Cape. His burial in the village of Gunu ended 10 days of memorial ceremonies that also received over 100 world leaders. Around 4,500 invited guests, including foreign dignitaries, attended Mandela's state funeral. But the public was shut out of the interment itself, with his family insisting it be a private affair. Now, the former South African president died on December the 5th at the age of 95. Although Mandela had been critically ill for months, the announcement of his death came as a shock to South Africans and the rest of the world. Well, crossing over to Detroit, joined by editor of Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abayomi Azikiwe. Thank you so much for being with us, sir. Tell us, first of all, the main legend, if you want to say, the main message that if Mandela could have left behind and he would want to have left behind, what would it be?
The necessity of protracted struggle, the necessity of organization and mass mobilization, perseverance of hope. Mandela spent some 27 and a half years in prison. And even prior to that, he was persecuted heavily by the racist apartheid system. He remained committed to his goals. He was able to build mass support for the African National Congress and its allies during the course of his imprisonment. And I think these are the ideals that he has, of course, instilled in all struggling and oppressed people, not only in South Africa, but throughout the world.
Well, Mr. Azikiwe, we look at, we hear raving reviews throughout the world for Mr. Mandela after he died. But we know that the United States, we know that many Western governments like the UK and others, actually he was considered a terrorist until recently. They were supporters of the racist apartheid regime. What does this say exactly? Have they all done an about face on their perspective, or is this all just for show?
They want to maintain their economic and political interests inside of South Africa. South Africa is a very wealthy country in terms of mineral resources. It is strategically important in regard to its status on the African continent. It has the most industrialized and advanced economies on the African continent. So that is the reason why they had to shift their posture. The former apartheid regime was already on the decline by the late 1980s. Due to the mass struggles and the armed struggle of the ANC and its allies inside the country, as well as the international movement that rose up during the 1980s and early 1990s, calling for the total abolition of apartheid. So that is the only reason why they shifted their position. But even today, they maintain a posture that is largely hostile towards the aspirations of the peoples of the African continent. And I'm very sure that the ANC is very much cognizant of this, as well as the other leading forces on the African continent.
Mr. Azikiwe, we look at Mandela's dream and his goal. Let's look at the changes, or the lack thereof, that has also taken place inside of South Africa. Yes, there has been an end to the apartheid system. Yes, there are more blacks in position of power, but there are many that would say that actually the financial power center is still in the hands of the minority white, that the blacks are the ones that actually are still struggling and still suffering the most. Tell me, as far as Mandela's vision and the reality of what we're seeing on the ground in South Africa, how close are they?
Well, the apartheid system was essentially an economic mechanism for the extraction of mineral resources and the super exploitation of African labor. That system is not going to be changed over a period of even two decades because it was in the making for some 300, over 300 years. So therefore, it's going to take time to transform the system. We cannot look at South Africa outside the overall world capitalist system. South Africa is still very much integrated into the world capitalist system. And all nations that have had revolutions over the last generation or two generations still have to deal with the dominance of the United States and the other Western imperialist countries. That is an ongoing struggle until there are fundamental political and economic transformations in the Western industrialized states, including the United States. It's going to be very difficult for all revolutionary movements around the world to gain genuine freedom and genuine unity and sovereignty.
Well, what will it take? I'm sorry, I'm just about out of time, but I just want to jump in with this question. What will it take, though, for the South Africans to actually achieve that true revolution that I'm sure is the goal of the majority?
They're going to have to take control of the national economy of the country in terms of the mines, the factories, and the arable land within the country. That process is being heavily debated right now inside South Africa, and the debate will continue, and the political struggle inside South Africa will continue as well. Aluta continua, as they say in Southern Africa, and that is going to be the legacy of Nelson Mandela, as well as the others, martyrs who have laid down their lives for the liberation of South Africa.
Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Abiyomi Azikiwe, out of Detroit, editor and Pan-African Newswire.